I rarely get nervous. It's just not something that I have. I don't get nervous. It doesn't matter where I'm at or who I'm with. Do you get nervous sometimes? Yeah, it happens, but it doesn't usually happen to me. And I certainly never get nervous when I go to my own house. Have you ever been going home and got nervous when you're going to your house? Anybody? That doesn't happen, does it? Well, maybe sometimes, but typically when you're going to your house, to your abode, you don't get nervous. And I don't either. But there was one winter's evening. I was coming home from my last church appointment, and I pulled into the garage, and I sat in my car, working up the courage to get out and to go inside. And I was talking to myself, thinking, okay, I can do this. I can do this. It won't be too bad. It won't be too bad. I just have to go fast. You know, like a boxer, you know, stick and move, weave, bob and weave like a boxer. I can do this. I kept talking myself into it, and finally I got out of the car, and I walked into the house, into my wife's staff work party, which consisted of a house completely full of women. And they all said, "Hi, Michael," except for Jeanette, who said, "Hi, honey." And they were all full of smiles, and they were all nice, but it was still unnerving. And so I stuck to the plan. "Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. How you doing? Nice dress." And I just kept moving and made through to the safety of my bedroom. And got through there as fast as I could. I don't know why, but it's kind of unnerving to go into a room or a house completely full of the opposite gender. Can be kind of unnerving. Well, there's a story in the Bible about a person who unexpectedly joined a gathering of primarily the opposite gender, and it changed her life forever. So this morning, let's look and see how this party crasher's actions might influence our lives and change us too. If you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to open them up or turn them on to Luke chapter 7. Our scripture reading for today that Aaron did a great job reading. And let's look at this very unusual gathering, an unusual guest. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 is where we're going to begin. It says, "Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat." Now, it's kind of strange because we typically, when we read stories in the Bible, we think of the Pharisees as kind of being enemies with Jesus. But Luke lets us know that one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to his home. And Jesus went to Simon, the Pharisee's home. And so gathered there is a gathering of people. A lot of well-to-do people are there because the Pharisees were the upper crust of the society. Lots of male religious leaders are there sharing this meal. The disciples have all gathered. But then another guest comes into the home. A woman enters the house, and not just any woman. Look with me in verse 37. "And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil." The Bible says that she's a woman in the city, a woman of the city, and then adds that she is a sinner. And that term there, "women of the city," is a kind way of saying what her job was. It's a kind way of saying that she was a prostitute. I don't imagine that she was invited to this gathering, do you? I don't think a Pharisee would ever invite a prostitute to come and have a meal. How would we react if a prostitute came to our home and walked in? Or if one came to our church, how would we react? Do you think she was nervous to go inside? You think she was maybe wringing her hands, maybe talking herself into it? "I can do this, I can do this, I have to do this." Well, even with potential ridicule and shame coming her way, this woman bravely enters the home. And as we continue this story, I want you to realize that props in Bible stories are so important. Don't miss the props. And a prop is anything that you can pick up and move around in a story. The Bible tells us that she carries an alabaster flask of expensive perfume. Then verse 38 says she stood at Jesus' feet behind him, weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. So she goes into this home all full of people, I'm guessing probably primarily men, and she makes her way behind Jesus. And I imagine she's probably trying to blend in as much as she possibly could. Maybe trying to avoid eye contact with anyone, hoping that she won't get kicked out. She gets to Jesus, she gets behind him, and she's overwhelmed, and she starts to weep. Can you picture her in your mind's eye? Can you see her there, tears falling from her eyes? Why? What has overcome her? Why this emotion? She uses those very tears to wash Jesus' feet, and she lets her hair down in order to do it, which is kind of a taboo thing to do back then. She dries his feet with her hair, and then she anoints his feet with perfume. And it's at this point in time, everyone is aware of her. If she was able to be unnoticed before, that perfume now permeates through the whole room, through the whole house. Everyone knows she's there, but she no longer cares about people's looks. She no longer cares about what they're going to say. She no longer cares about what they're going to do. She is determined to anoint Jesus. Have you ever wondered why? Why is this woman so determined to enter this socially dangerous situation and to do this act for Jesus? Why? Well, I believe the Holy Spirit was inspiring her, but I think there's more than that. Sometimes you have to go to other parts of the Bible, and Mark, in his version of this story, adds a clue that helps us realize exactly what is happening here. So if you got your Bibles there, open them to Mark chapter 14. There are many scholars who believe that Simon the Pharisee from Luke 7 is the same person as Simon the healed leper that we find in Mark chapter 14. And they link these two stories together, though Mark and Luke tell them in different timelines. Mark chapter 14, verse 3 says, "And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as Jesus sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of smikenard. And then she broke the flask and poured it on his head." Verse 3 says that this woman did not just use this expensive perfume. This perfume that could have been sold. Do you know how much it was worth? Do you know the story? The Bible says that it could have been possibly sold for a year's worth of wages. 300 denarii. Now, ladies, I don't know, and I cannot guess how much you may love perfume, but how many of you would spend a year's worth of your salary on one bottle? Go ahead and raise your hands if you love perfume that much. It's confession is good for the soul. Not too many hands going up. Okay, well, if you would somehow get your hands on a bottle of perfume that is worth 1 year's worth of wages, if you could get that, how many of you would use it all at one time? Or if you were in possession of that, would you use just a little bit at a time? You wouldn't use it all at once, would you? Mark tells us that she broke the alabaster flask and she poured it all on Jesus. So here's the big question. Why? Why is this woman so emotional? Why pour out all the perfume? And most importantly, why break the flask? Even if you're going to use it all, why not just open it and, you know, dump it all out? She breaks the flask. See, there are some things that we miss sometimes when we read the Bible, and it's not our fault. It just happens to us because we did not live in Israel at the turn of the century. So we miss a few things, but the Bible gives us clues if we look close enough. Remember what I said this woman's job was? She's a prostitute. She is thought of as the worst type of sinner. And I'm not going to go into great detail here, folks, but a prostitute's job was an intimate job. And let's just say, in those days, not the best smelling job, okay? Her clientele were not showering every day. Many of them probably didn't shower once a week. So not a very nice business. It's a dirty, it's a smelly business. So do you see what's happening now? And Jesus' teaching has touched her and has motivated her, because prostitutes, because of their job, because it being a dirty and smelly business, they would carry a bottle of perfume with them to make things smell nicer. Do you see what's going on now? Jesus' teaching has touched her so much that she's doing more than just anointing him. She comes before him, and overwhelmed, she takes the flask of alabaster that she used for her job, and she breaks it. And breaking that alabaster flask could have been her way of saying, I'm done. I am done. With tears falling from her eyes, she responds to God's love and his call for a change and for a closer communion with him. So she breaks that flask to say, I am done with my old life. I'm not going back. I'm committed to you now, Jesus. I am never going back. She took what was keeping her from a full commitment and a full communion with Jesus, and she broke it. She broke her alabaster flask so that nothing would stand between her and her Savior anymore. Friends, do you have an alabaster flask around your neck this morning? Is there something in your life that is coming between you and Jesus? Something that has kept you from a full communion and a full commitment to God? You can let it go today. And not just let it go. With Christ's power and his love, you can break that which binds you. It doesn't have to chain you anymore after today. This prostitute's dedication to break from her past life, no matter the cost, shows us that we too can be free from what holds us back. And I don't care what it is, whatever it is. Maybe it's a past hurt. Maybe it's a loss that you've had in your life, or a dream that never came true. Maybe it's pride, jealousy, anger, or lust. Whatever it is, it does not have to hold you anymore. As we prepare for communion, for this service today, I want you to think hard. I want you to pray hard, and I want you to ask Jesus, what is my alabaster flask? Pray to him and say, Jesus, is there anything holding me back from being who you want me to be? Is there anything holding me back from a closer walk with you? And then, friends, may the love of God so move us that we go before our Savior today, not worrying about the looks of others, not caring what people will say, not concerned what people will think. And may we break our alabaster flask and pour it all out, surrender it to the one who died to set us free. Remember, friends, Jesus didn't break that flask for her. He didn't. It's up to us to be willing to break it. She had to make the choice. And we can choose as well. break your flask today and give it all to Jesus. Let me pray with you. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I'm guessing that most of us woke up this morning not thinking that we could learn a lesson from a prostitute. And yet here we are, convicted and inspired by the actions of a lady long ago who was shunned in society, used by individuals in that society, and tossed to the side, but still regarded by you. And Lord, that lady responded to your love in such a way that she was willing to break from her past to have a new walk with you. Lord Jesus, we come before you today to commune with you today. Anything that keeps us from that, Lord, may it be broken, and may we pour it all out and give it all to you so that we can be who you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper and the ordinance of humility. And I want you to know, if you happen to be a guest here or maybe new here at Piedmont, we practice open communion where everyone is invited. Before we take part in the Lord's Supper, though, we will have the ordinance of humility, or the foot washing service. This is a time when we go and we wash each other's feet, following Jesus' example in doing that very thing. And so if you would like to participate in the foot washing service, we have several places you can go. To my right, in this room behind the piano, we have a room that you can go to if you may need assistance with foot washing. If we have ladies that would like a certain place, we have a spot for you back to our multi-purpose room, our gathering place, we've newly called it. Ladies can go there. Men, if you would make your way downstairs to the youth chapel, that's the location for the men. Or families that would like to do the foot washing together, they can go downstairs to the fellowship hall. So I invite you to depart at this time, but to be thinking about anything that may be getting in the way of your walk with God. This is the time to let it go. If you want to stay, you are certainly welcome to stay here in the sanctuary and to wait and to be praying with the Lord. We'll have music playing for you, and then we'll all come back together shortly and celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Thank you, everyone. God bless you. And now at this time, we are gathered together to celebrate God's love, a love that still breaks our alabaster flask. The Apostle Paul wrote this amazing night that he wasn't there for, but he celebrated. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" At this time, the elders and I will kneel, and Pastor Caleb will have the prayer for the bread. I invite the congregation to bow your heads and to pray as well.
Father, I just want to thank you so much for Jesus and for the sacrifice that he made by dying upon a cross, willfully going, knowing was to come. Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity to partake in this ordinance. And Lord, may we not just do it this day, but each and every day partake within the word of life, which is the bread of life for us. And Lord, may you remind us and encourage us that we may be partakers of it, as you said that your word, it sanctifies us and cleanses us and fills us for what we need in our daily life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Amen. In the same manner, as Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the new cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Again, at this time, the elders will kneel as Elder Thompson has the prayer for the juice. I invite the congregation to bow your heads as well.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Send the Holy Spirit so that this is not just another occasion, but so that this becomes a commitment of our lives to what you did, so that we could be saved. And may this that we are doing today change our lives, is our prayer in your name. Amen.
On that solemn, incredible night, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Matthew continues to record what Jesus said after that moment. He says, "But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus wants to be with us, wants to be with you, and this world is waiting to see Jesus' love. As we leave this place, may we leave with broken flasks, and may we leave ready to tell others about this amazing love that can break anything that binds us. The section of Scripture ends by saying, it's the only section of Scripture where we hear that Jesus sang a hymn, and so how fitting that we close today singing a hymn. And may it not just be sung with your lips, may it be sung with your heart. Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, Lord Jesus and Blessed Spirit, indeed, we want to surrender all to you. For Lord Jesus, you are willing to come here and surrender your all for us. So just now, again, Lord, we give you our hearts. May they be broken by you, and may you remake us into your image. And Lord, anything that holds us from a closer walk with you, we give those alabaster flasks to you now. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to break its hold on us, that we may hold on to you and leave this place and tell others about the God of heaven, of all power and might, who can break anything that binds us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all those willing to give him and break their alabaster blasts said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. A happy Sabbath.